This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're listening to On The Ball, our podcast where we give you the top developments of what's happening in the sporting world. Firstly, I would like to wish all our listeners season's greetings, and Dustin, welcome to the show, and season's greetings to you too.
Thanks, Jerome. Wish you the same.
Indeed, last day of the year, Dustin, since Boxing Day till now, we have seen 20 games. Can you tell our listeners of what were the biggest results in these 20 games?
Well, Jerome, starting from Boxing Day, there were quite a few significant results. Let's start from the surprising one. That was Chelsea losing 2-0 to Southampton. Exactly. Southampton are enjoying a wonderful revival under Hasan Hüttl. If anyone questioned his managerial approach, he's just replying there. And then we saw Liverpool absolutely stamp their dominance on the Premier League. They just came back from winning the Club World Cup and then they thrashed the number two side in the Premier League 4-0. Exactly. Leicester had no response to that. And to make things better for Liverpool, that very evening they saw City losing to Wolves.
Right.
And that was another incredible result because City were leading that game 2-0 despite being down to 10 men. Edison got a red card in the 12th minute.
Right.
But Sterling scored twice, and up till the 55th minute they were leading. When Wolves, an incredible comeback led by Adama Traore, opened the scoring, and then in the 82nd and 83rd minute they came back to win it 3-2, which was
exactly
really good considering they just were promoted last year.
Right.
So that was from a Boxing Day, Jerome. And then we move on to the previous game week 20.
Right.
Where again we saw Liverpool extending their run at the top of the table. This time, just to rub it in City's faces, they beat Wolves 1-0.
Right.
So another solid result for them. But we also saw City coming back and handing Sheffield United, who have been impressive this season. But City just sort of asserted their dominance in that game and gave them no chance. Sheffield had zero shots on target in that game. And
wow,
City ended up eventual winners with a 2-0 victory there.
Right. Dustin, thanks for, you know, recapping the past 20 games or the top games of the past week for our listeners. I'll just pinpoint a few more games. You know, United have had a very good run.
Yeah.
Quite surprisingly, of course, Burnley, Minos, they did win them comfortably. And they won 4-1 up against Newcastle the previous game. Quite interesting there for United.
Yeah, and then now they are almost on the cusp of making it 3 out of 3 if they get it in this game week. And Solskjaer's had this mixed bag of results where they are not able to dominate the teams who sit back. But that win against Newcastle was significant. They went down a goal early in that game, but they just responded brilliantly to win it 4-1.
Right.
Really dominant performance.
In the upcoming week, they face Arsenal. Dustin, what do you think is going to happen?
As an Arsenal fan, this is one fixture I'm always looking forward to because this enmity runs deep. It was United who broke that unbeaten record at 49 games. They halted it. Of course, they cheated in that game, but let's not bring that up. But this game is also going to be really interesting because Arsenal have shown great promise in these past two games, especially the game against Chelsea. We didn't get to speak about that much, but that was an incredible display of two young managers really showing what they are capable of. Frank Lampard got a victory against Tottenham.
Right.
And that was a game where he played with those three centre-backs and people lauded his approach. And he turned up at the Emirates with the same formation with those three centre-backs. And Mikel Arteta's first game against Bournemouth was an impressive display, but still Arsenal ended up drawing that game. But they carried forward that momentum. And one player who was outstanding was Mesut Ozil, just dominating midfield. Even David Luiz was defending so well.
Right.
And the first 30 minutes just belonged to Arsenal. They went 1-0 up. But then Frank Lampard showed his tactical acumen. He just pulled out Emerson, who was having a poor game. He switched back to a four-man defense and brought Jorginho. And later on, Lampard even brought in a 19-year-old wing-back, to play, Tariq Lamptey. So that was really impressive by Lampard. Post that, Chelsea just dominated the game. There was positives for Arsenal to see that they did defend heroically, which we couldn't label towards an Arsenal team in the recent past. But I guess it was just too much for them to handle. And eventually Chelsea did run out winners. It was a thrilling game, but sad for all Arsenal fans there.
I sympathize with you, Dustin. Ultimately, when the final whistle goes, what matters is those two numbers that come up on the scoreboard.
Yes.
And indeed, Chelsea were the better team out there. Now they are facing United. What do you think is going to happen? Or you think Arsenal will take this away?
Well, as an Arsenal fan, I have to say it would sweeten the pot to have Mikel Arteta's first win against United. Mm-hmm. But it seems like a really tough prospect. We have to remember that Arteta hasn't had that many training sessions with the team. Mm-hmm. They've just played against Chelsea. He'd have had just one training session to work on whatever improvements. That's why we could see in the Chelsea game, mid-match, while Lampard could change his tactics, Arteta doesn't have the same leeway because he hasn't been able to drill the team in those formations that he would like them to adapt at the last minute. So that would take some time. And this isn't a weak United side at all. We've seen them play. Daniel James is coming back, hitting that form that he had at the start of the season once again. Mm-hmm. Martial is finding the back of the net. Rashford is the highest scoring player right now for them. He's playing really well. Right. And Paul Pogba might just be on the cusp of a return. Solskjaer has this tendency where if the player is about to return also, he does not reveal it in the media. He has done it in the past, especially when they played last time against Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Again, Paul Pogba was missing in training when the media came to the ground. They had a 15-minute open session, but there was speculation that later on he did join in that session. Okay. So Paul Pogba might return. Okay. And considering that centre-back pairing of United, Harry Maguire and Lindelof, they have been solid there. So on paper, United do look like the better side to win this. Okay. But let's hope that Arsenal playing at home are able to lift themselves up and provide some sort. Because there have been sparks of brilliance from Arteta's team. They have moved the ball faster. Ozil has been carrying the ball, which we haven't seen a lot. Right. Torreira has been really bitey in midfield. And they did miss Xhaka in the game against Chelsea. Whereas against Bournemouth, Xhaka was one of the best players on the pitch after a really long time. Right. So if Xhaka, Torreira axis returns for Arsenal and if they're able to lift themselves up being at home, it would be a really interesting game there.
Sure, Dustin. Again, we will be waiting for the final whistle to go and those two figures to come up on the board. And being, you know, unbiased here, I would definitely want the better team to win.
You know, there's another interesting subplot at this game, Jerome. It's when Solskjaer led this United team to Manchester City. Back then, Mikel Arteta was sitting as an assistant to Pep Guardiola. And he witnessed his mentor being dismantled by a United counter-attack. And United, even though they were playing away to City, came away as 2-1 winners in that game. And City only scored from a set piece, not from open play. Okay. Now, there's a lot being said that Mikel Arteta has picked up most of his tactical acumen from Pep Guardiola, even though he does have his own ideas. So it would be interesting to see whether the apprentice can do one better where his master Guardiola failed at the Etihad. If Arteta can do one better and beat this United side, who would mostly, I guess, depend upon the counter-attack when they travel to the Emirates.
Alright, United have had a good run of late. But yeah, we'll see after the end of 90 minutes of play. And moving on to the next game, Liverpool will be taking on Sheffield United. In the previous game, City had the better of Sheffield. What do you think is going to happen here? Liverpool going to extend their lead further?
Well, we do keep saying this might be another tricky fixture for Liverpool, but they've been spectacular all season. And even when things haven't been going their way against Wolves, they did ride their luck. There were a few disallowed goals. VAR has been ruining games off late. But again, this might be a tricky fixture, but considering that Sheffield have to travel to Anfield, it might be too much of a task to expect them to come away with a win. But if there is a team from the newly promoted who could challenge Liverpool, I would say Sheffield, because they thoroughly deserve that 8th spot that they're holding on to on the table right now.
Sure, Dustin, quite interesting there. Next, City would take on Everton. Of course, that's going to be tomorrow as we speak. And the previous two games that we spoke of are going to be on Thursday and Friday, respectively. So, what do you think? Tomorrow is going to be an exciting day for City?
Well, Everton are enjoying their second new manager bounce here, we have to say. When they had Duncan Ferguson, they were playing with a tempo, pace, and players were just giving their all, similar to how Duncan Ferguson was as a player. Now, Carlo Ancelotti has come in, and we can see he's bringing in some more structure in that team. And Dominic Calvert-Lewin is having a great season. He's already netted twice in the previous game too.
Right.
So City could be tested here, but I do not see Everton holding up long against a relentless City attack. City just constantly bombarded Sheffield United, and De Bruyne, Sterling, etc. were absolute linchpins in that game. So I do think that City will run away with this result here.
Given that Aguero is back in the side.
Aguero is also back in the side. Yes, we cannot miss that. He did have a good 80 minutes there.
Yes.
I guess he'll find his way back in your FPL team now.
Definitely. And he's going to be captain there. Most likely I'll even play my triple captain. Let's see what happens. Next, Brighton and Chelsea. take on each other tomorrow. I definitely give Chelsea the upper hand here, considering how well they played against Arsenal in the previous fixture.
Yeah, but Brighton did have an important result there. They won 2-0 against Bournemouth at home. And Graham Potter has got this incredible approach to the game where he does not consider Brighton as a small team. Mm-hmm. They play out from the back. They have these small passes by which they unlock the high press. And Chelsea do use a high press. So if Graham Potter finds a way to move across that press of Chelsea, we just might see them having troubles. Okay. Also, it would be interesting to see what Lampard does for this game. He went with a three-man defense for the past two games. It didn't work out against Arsenal. Right. What sort of an approach will he adapt here? But hats off to Lampard. I did not rate him as highly as a manager until the Arsenal game. I thought he was riding on that new manager, young manager, and players are giving their all. But he did show that he does have a sharp tactical mind. And this would be an interesting match because both these managers right now are highly rated in the English world of football.
Right, Dustin. One good fixture, and I'm like, you know, I'd be looking forward to this match, is Southampton taking on Spurs. Now, the best thing is Southampton have had an extremely good outing in the recent past. And Tottenham haven't. I mean, given just a few games here and there, they have gone down, you know, in form. They have dipped rather in form. What do you think could happen here?
Both teams are coming into this match on the back of draws. But yes, Southampton have had the better results in recent times. Spurs, of course, were lucky, I would say, to come away with a draw against Norwich. Norwich are playing incredibly well now that they know they have to win to survive.
Right.
And they should have had the victory against Tottenham, but it did not happen. You can sense Jose Mourinho would start getting frustrated now. And Hasan Hüttl has been leading the Southampton team incredibly so far. And they are able to exploit their strengths. Lee Smussey, even Danny Ings, they're playing really well up front, holding the ball. Danny Ings has capitalized the most among strikers from defensive errors. So if Tottenham again try to play out from the back, which Mourinho has cut off in recent time, he just asked them to hoof the ball up. If they again go back to that tendency trying to pass out from the back, Danny Ings will be there trying to capitalize. And we can expect a really highly physical game here because Mourinho likes that. He likes putting those big players in and pushing. And even Southampton will have to put their body on the line because they know survival does depend on grabbing up victories here. We spoke about the relegation race last time. It's really heating up there at the bottom. So the clubs know that they cannot afford any slip-ups in this festive period.
Right, Dustin, quite well put there. And now we've spoken about, you know, the top matches that we are going to witness tomorrow, day after, and the day after that. Let's just go through the leaderboard once. Liverpool, 19 games, 18 wins, 1 draw, 0 losses, 55 points. I mean, that's an incredible run considering Leicester City, 20 games, 13 wins, 3 draws, 4 losses at 42 points. And below Leicester are City with again the same number of games, 13 wins, 2 draws, 5 losses and at 41 points. Let's go to the fourth spot too. Chelsea have come up there. Again, 20 games, 11 wins, 2 draws, 7 losses, 35 points. I would still be concerned, or rather I would still want to know if a Leicester City or a Manchester City would be able to even come close or, you know, give Liverpool a scare.
I think it's a far cry. I think we are witnessing something incredible from this Liverpool side. And I read recently that if there's anyone to blame for what Liverpool are doing now, it's Manchester City. Because Liverpool had an incredible season last year too. They lost just once, yet they ended up runners-up to City. And this season, they know that they have to win absolutely everything out there if they want to lift that league title, which has eluded them for 20 years. Yes. Let's not forget, they are the second most successful team in England, but haven't won the league in the last 20 years. So it does seem like those glory days are back to Liverpool. Mm-hmm. This is just unbelievable. 19 games and you won 8. And just drawn one, and that one draw was at Old Trafford against Manchester United.
Right.
So they are on course to even break City's record, the tally of 100 points in that season. So they've already got 55 at the halfway point of the season. So we could be witnessing something really incredible here. All I would wish for is that that unbeaten record doesn't go away from Arsenal, but it's difficult to see where Liverpool are going to lose their next game from.
Again, very well put, Dustin. Thanks for this. Let's just have a quick round of predictions there. Let's start with the first game in the new year. Brighton take on Chelsea.
Well, I think Chelsea will just nick this one, either 2-1 or a 3-1 victory for Chelsea. Yeah.
All right. The next biggest game again on the first is City take on Everton.
Well, City should again run out winners, but I do think Everton, with the form Calvert-Lewin, etc., have been showing, might find the back of the net. So another 3-1 or a 4-1 victory to City in this.
Right. The biggest game of January, the second, would be Arsenal take on United. Dustin, I want to know what you feel.
I'm going to put it out there. Arsenal are going to win against Manchester United. I think it might just be a 2-0 or a 2-1 victory. Arteta's getting his first win against United here.
Just reverse the team, Dustin. I'm quite sure we'll see the scoreboard at a 2-1 or a 2-0.
We'll discuss this result in the next podcast.
In favor of United. And yes, of course, Liverpool take on Sheffield.
I think Liverpool will blank out Sheffield United. 2-0 victories.
All right. I still see like a 3-0 or a 4-0 there.
Okay.
What about the Fantasy League? Who do you think, you know, could get the highest points, considering that in the previous game, Trent Alexander-Arnold, you know, went on to score 24 points that no defender has managed to achieve in the FPL.
Yeah, we have to give a shout out to him in that game. It was an incredible performance. 3 assists, a goal, clean sheet, 24 points. That's the most ever by a defender in the history of FPL, and also the most by an individual this season.
Wow.
And I was just listening to an interview of Alexander-Arnold. He didn't even name himself as captain in his own FPL team.
Oh, really?
Yes. He said Sadio Mane was his captain in that game week, and Mane did get the assist for Alexander Arnold's goal. But that was a really incredible performance, and I think he does deserve to be in your team again. If you want goal scoring defenders who can give you assist, Alexander Arnold, Robertson are just usual suspects.
Right.
And there's also Jan Vertonghen, who is showing signs of improvement in carrying the ball up front. So I would also give a shout out to him as a defender who could be added to the team.
All right, Dustin, what about a goalkeeper? Who would you pick this week?
Well, Lucas Fabianski returned after a long injury layoff for West Ham, and he marked his return with a save from a penalty against Leicester. They did eventually lose that game 2-1, but I think playing against Bournemouth, Fabianski would be my shout. He has notched up great tally of points in the FPL so far, and he always is there with good results.
All right, and who would you lead with up front?
Well, I guess Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I would stick with him. He is a player enjoying great form. Troy Deeney is another player who I would put in, just because many others might not have him there, because Deeney is all enthused to keep Watford in the league.
Right.
And of course, Aguero making his return, we know what he can do. So yeah, Aguero absolutely would be there.
Right, Dustin, any in the midfield?
I would still go with a couple of West Ham players there. We didn't speak about this, Jerome, on the podcast, but West Ham did lose their manager after that latest result.
Right.
And David Moyes has been appointed to take charge, an 18-month contract.
Okay.
Moyes was there before, he did help keep them in the league, but after that short period, he was replaced by Pellegrini. So it's a funny signing that earlier they did not want Moyes and now they're going back to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go with a few West Ham players considering that new manager bound. So Felipe Anderson and Antonio have been really good midfielders for West Ham, carrying the ball forward, creating chances, taking shots on goal. So these two would be my picks for midfield.
An interesting take there, Dustin. I'll just recap an incident that happened somewhere in 2012-13 when David Moyes was indeed, you know, putting his feet into the shoes of Sir Alex Ferguson. And I had read a tabloid headline which says, David replaces the Goliath. And it was a damn squib for United.
He was the chosen one. We mustn't forget, Ferguson himself chose his successor.
Exactly,
there.
Exactly.
It
didn't
really work out though for them.
Yeah. And it was, quite a bad run there.
Yeah.
Hopefully, let's see how he performs with West Ham.
He has done great things when he was with Everton. Keeping them in the top six, challenging for the Europa League places wasn't an easy task. Of course, the United stint didn't work out for him. But his previous West Ham stint was really good, where he did manage to keep them in the league. So
all
it could turn out to be an inspired signing back for them.
All right, Dustin, thanks for all these updates.
Thanks, Jerome. It's good to be here.
With that, we wrap this episode of On The Ball. In case you have any query or wish to give us some suggestion, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.